Totally, great games.
Different, great in different ways, you know. The UConn-South Carolina game was exciting in that it was close, and then the Arizona-Oregon game was exciting in that it wasn't close.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Arizona fan.
You are. Yeah. You've been a big McDonald fan for a
while.
So
it's just nice to see. I like to see them keep doing good. So. But yeah, that UConn game is fun.
It's fun. The Queens of the Court podcast. Hi. We're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
And we back.
Again, we're back.
It is Monday, February 8th, around 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
We don't know when this is published.
This is when we're doing the recording. And we just finished watching the UConn-South Carolina 1-2 matchup on Fox Sports 1.
Yay, Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, yay, Fox Sports 1. Newly minted number 1 and number 2 in the rankings, which I assume will change next week now after this result.
I mean, will it, though?
Yeah.
It was a tough game. Do you think South Carolina should go down that far?
No, but I think UConn will be number 1 and maybe South Carolina will be number 3.
No, that's
3.
That
cuz Louisville's still like 14-1 or something. So, or 18-1 or something.
I know, but they had a loss last week too.
Yeah, but like that was last week. They've already been punished for that. Now they're like move up cuz they only have one loss and South Carolina will have two.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like at some point you just like who's got the most losses, all right, put them in the next tier down below the one loss teams.
Yeah, that's what you got to do, I guess, at this point.
Anyway, it's the Queens of the Court podcast. We're here to bring you all the information you want and probably stuff you don't want about women's basketball because we are the King Size Queens.
Yas.
And, so that was a really exciting game. We just watched the UConn-South Carolina game. I'm just going to go in a circle.
Yeah, go. Keep going. Keep going with that. That was good.
Keep going.
Good game.
Paige.
That's the real thing.
Paige.
It's the Paige show.
It's the Paige show.
She,
is that going to be the title of this episode? The Paige show?
Yeah, because, like, let's be real. A bunch of people were like, man, she looks good, but she's not that as flashy as we thought.
I know, right?
she looks solid. She looks like she'll be a real nice player.
Nice player.
And then like the last like 5 games, she's like 25, 25, 30, 30, 30. She's like, I got this. And like,
she looks good.
She's not taking bad shots.
No, she looks really good.
They're controlled. It's what she wants. It's how she she does whatever she wants.
She's getting a lot of steals too. Yeah. She's disruptive.
Her gameplay and her IQ on the court are just next level.
Yeah.
You can tell already. She is.
We're talking about Paige Beckers.
Yeah, Paige Beckers.
We haven't actually said her full name. Paige Beckers, freshman for UConn. You know, phenom, highly touted recruit.
Phenom.
And, like, you know, first 5 games of, like, their year were canceled because of COVID.
And then she did,
and
like,
then
15,
a few games.
Like, 17.
Right. And we were just
triple-double.
Like,
triple-double.
I don't think I see it.
She's not that great.
I don't think so.
You know.
Sorry, Paige.
So, like, I guess, like, I'm just, like, a true UConn hater, right? So, like, I hate on the fact that I just hate on UConn.
I feel like we just hold them to
it's
a
like,
super
no,
high standard.
It's like, it's like not being a Yankees fan, right? Like, you hate the Yankees because they're the fucking Yankees, and they are fucking UConn. You just hate them because they get the best. They are the best. They do it all the time.
I don't know. I've never felt like I hate them, even though, like, I'm a Notre Dame fan and there's, like, a clear rivalry there. I've never felt like I hated UConn because they're so good for the sport.
It's
they're so consistent, and, like, they play really pretty basketball most of the time.
It's like it was like
so
hating.
I can't hate it.
Brady and Belichick, right? It was like hating
that's
them.
That's a lot easier, though.
But it's the same fundamental thing.
Just
like,
Brady now. Belichick.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, Belichick. You're no longer part of this conversation.
Honestly. But, like, Gino is, like, that guy that you just, like, as a coach.
You can love
you're like
Gino.
But
that's fine.
But that's, like, why I hate
UConn.
But you
don't really hate UConn.
You don't because you respect them for how great they are.
Yeah.
And you respect what they put out on the court every time.
And then they go to the WNBA and they become your favorite players.
Yeah. So totally. Like, totally. You know? But I don't care about that. That's fine. It's more about, like, the fact that, like, Gino gets the best. He coaches them up to be the best. Like, they end up being the best and you're kind of like, how the fuck did you do it again?
Right.
You're so annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, because you can see how hard it is to be consistent.
It's
like
so
that.
Hard. I mean, it's so hard. And they proved it with the little Katie Lou Samuelson era where they expected so much and they didn't get it.
No, but no, it's different though because they were still a top five team.
The whole
like,
time.
They never dropped out of like.
Whole
maybe,
time.
Maybe they did, but I don't think so. No, I don't think they ever dropped out of the top five.
And they went to the Final Four like every single fucking
year.
And
you look at every other team that's like been in the top five over the past like 10 years and no one is consistent.
Nobody is like them. Nobody.
Like no one.
South Carolina's turning into it.
Baylor is
and South Carolina is slowly getting there. They have been for a little bit, but like UConn is every year.
Yeah,
every
it's crazy.
Time. And you just root against it. You're like, I wish I could see somebody new. And that's kind of how you felt about Brady Belichick. You're like, I kind of wish I see somebody new. It's just the simple fact that they...
But Paige Beckers,
but
man.
It's like they have another... They hit a home run again. They got Paige. And what's her name's coming in next year?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
And like nothing against like, you know, UConn's upperclassmen because they're all doing a great job. They're just, you know, there's something obviously very, very special about Paige Beckers.
Totally.
And
totally.
She's a freshman. Like,
it's not to take
you're
away.
Just excited about her career.
It's
already.
Not to take away from that team. It's very talented.
Yeah.
They have really good, really good talent on the floor besides Paige. If you take Paige away from that team, they're still a top five team in my mind.
Yeah.
They can still get that done.
But, like, I mean, Paige
makes them national championship contender right now.
Yeah, and she's not only like a contender for player of the year, she has to be one of the front runners.
She has to be.
She has to be.
I mean, it has to be, if you're talking like real quick off the top of the head.
We're going
to
go through the list.
Okay, we'll do that later. We'll do that later. Okay, but like, yeah, but like saying that right now has to be somewhere up in the top. Top five. She
guess
has
we may as well
to.
Just go through the list now, huh?
You want to jump right into it? Let's get into it. That's good transition. Yes.
Listing.
Yes. Do we have a segment name for this? No.
What Wooden the? Award watch segment.
Sick.
I know, right? I don't
good
know.
Job.
Well, just ham it up. Come up with something fabulous.
Ham it up.
Come on, girl.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to call
whatever.
It.
We'll figure something out later.
The Royal Court. I don't know. Anyway, all right, here we go. We're going to go in alphabetical order. Here are your top 20 Wooden Awards late season watch list nominees. Belly roll, please. Not that kind of. What is that? Oh, man. All right. Well, you know, next season when we add video to the podcast, this will be much more fun. Here we go. Aaliyah Boston, sophomore from South Carolina. Paige Beckers, freshman from Connecticut. Charlie Collier, junior from Texas. Zia Cook, sophomore from South Carolina. Alyssa Cunane, a junior from NC State. Renaya Davis, a senior from Tennessee. Chelsea Dungy, a senior from Arkansas. Dana Evans, a senior from Louisville. Araya Garantes, a senior from Rutgers. Nas Hillman, a junior from Michigan. Ryan Howard, a junior from Kentucky. Rekia Jackson, a sophomore from Mississippi State. Ashley Jones, a junior from Iowa State. Haley Jones, a sophomore from Stanford. Natasha Mack, a senior from Oklahoma State. Yo, Natasha Mack, just real quick shout out. She's like averaging like 30 boards. She's not really, but like she boards like crazy.
She's getting all the boards.
She's getting all the boards.
All the boards.
Ari McDonald, senior from Arizona. Olivia Nelson-Adoda, a junior from Connecticut. Michaela Onyenwede, a senior from UCLA. Nelissa Smith, a junior from Baylor. And Kiana Williams, a senior from Stanford.
Okay. Nice list.
It's a great list.
Nice list.
It's a real nice list. This could, a lot of these names could be your WNBA draftees.
So a few stand out, right? But like... a lot you could get rid of real quick in my head too.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, you know, in your mind you can whittle them down to like a top five.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and feel pretty solid about it, even if you know that's not what like the watch committee will do. But you know, there's a lot of games to be played, you know, and there's a very wide open NCAA tournament without a very clear-cut favorite, so I think it's going to be exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these players distinguish themselves over the next couple of months. The way we're saying Paige has done over the past month.
Over the past few weeks, though, it's become more apparent that the pack isn't what we thought it was.
The pack?
The Pac-12.
Oh, the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that way last time we were talking about this. You did. Like, I feel like the Pac-12 is a bunch of good teams, but none of them are that great.
You did, and it's showing, and it's clearer to me more and more of, like, the powerhouse teams are not in that conference. Like, the top teams are not there. Maybe Stanford is kind of there.
I mean, they have four in the top 11 right now.
I know, Stanford, and I think that's UCLA. Just because they play each other. And they benefit from that.
I mean, that could be also be why they have losses, because they have to play each other. But you don't see them play as many big matches outside of the Pac-12, especially mm-hmm. this year because of the distance and travel.
That's true.
So it's hard to kind of gauge them against the rest of the country. So it's interesting though, because there will be a bunch of top seeds from the Pac-12 in the tournament.
Which is it's surprising to me.
But, yeah.
Eye test just lately to me shows, like, stronger games being played elsewhere. But,
yeah.
We'll see. What you got next? You got segments?
We got segments. Actually, before we hop into our other NCAA segments, let's just take a quick pause to talk about the WNBA.
Oh, shit.
The WNBA free agency period has begun as of February 1st. And there's already been a bunch of moves and a bunch of really interesting, re-signings and announcements. So we just kind of wanted to go through some of that and just kind of where we are so far with, WNBA free agency. So I'm going to give you kind of like a list of kind of like the big moves, and we'll just kind of talk about them one by one. So Natalie Achonwa, Indiana Fever forward, has signed with the Minnesota Lynx, so we'll join that talented up-and-coming squad. So that's a great move, I think, for both.
They had a couple nice ads this year.
Mm-hmm. Tina Charles re-signed with the Mystics. So there were a lot of questions kind of about, like, how is this team going to play with Tina Charles, because it just didn't necessarily seem like an obvious system that was going to work for all these players.
Yeah.
So they re-signed her, so they obviously have some kind of
plan.
Yeah, they've got a plan, and they feel good about it, so I'm excited to see that because there's a lot of talent there. Alicia Clark leaves Seattle and joins the Washington Mystics. I think that's also a really good pickup for the Mystics. She's been so solid for Seattle. So I think that's a loss for Seattle, obviously, but that'll be
a big loss for Seattle.
Addition for Washington.
I think what she did for Seattle was so big, defensively, and her role of knockdown 3-point shooter, randomly in the game was what you needed.
Yeah,
she never overshot. Always knew what she was out there for. I think on that team, she could be so deadly with the bigs that they have.
Yeah.
Ooh. Kicks all day to her.
So, I think that's a great signing for the Mystics. They're clearly making a strong push, this year. They know that they've got the pieces. They're just a year removed from a championship. So, Alicia Gray re-signed with the Dallas Wings, which I think is great for the Dallas Wings. She's been a big part of what their rebuild. Chelsea Gray has moved from the Los Angeles Sparks and signed with the Las Vegas Aces. That's a big move for the Aces. It's really kind of partially in response to other moves of players that are leaving the Aces. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Tiana Hawkins is leaving the Mystics and joining the Atlanta Dream. Benaja Laney is leaving the Atlanta Dream and joining the New York Liberty,
yes,
which I think is a big move for the Libs. Kayla McBride is leaving Las Vegas and going to the Minnesota Lynx. That's kind of partially where I think Chelsea Gray slots in there for that loss. Kayla McBride's a great player, so that's a couple big moves to the Lynx, reuniting former Notre Dame greats Kayla McBride and Natalie Achonwa together. They were in the same class.
Woo! So
that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's so good.
Candace Parker, this has got to be the biggest one, is leaving Los Angeles for the first time in her career and going back home to Chicago. So she's joining the Chicago Sky, which really makes them like instant contenders because they were already like right there, and you throw Candace Parker in the mix and it's a real interesting, real difficult team to guard. Cheyenne Parker is leaving the Chicago Sky and joining the Atlanta Dream. So that's a bunch of big pickups for the Dream as well. They're getting Cheyenne Parker. They're getting Tiana Hawkins. So, you know, they're still kind of in the middle of a rebuild. Seattle has re-signed Epiphany Prince. That was a big pickup for them, you know, last year. And she does a lot of good things for them in that guard spot off the bench. So
yes.
That'll be big. Danielle Robinson is leaving the Las Vegas Aces and joining the Indiana Fever.
Oh.
Diana Taurasi has re-signed with the Phoenix Mercury. Alyssa Thomas has re-signed with the Connecticut Sun. Jasmine Thomas has re-signed with the Connecticut Sun.
Yes.
By the way, Alyssa Thomas having surgery right now for an injury and is not having her shoulders repaired at the same time. She's just like, no, I don't need to do that. I've been playing through it.
She just doesn't care.
Erica Wheeler is leaving the Indiana Fever and joining the Sparks, Los Angeles Sparks.
It could be really nice for them.
So those are the moves that are currently listed on the WNBA Player Movement Central. I believe Sue Bird re-signed with Seattle. So that's super exciting. You know, there's a bunch of, you know, we look at like, you know, Taurasi, Sue Bird, you know, Candace Parker. And I think we got to be excited that we're getting more high-level basketball out of these, you know, stars.
Totally. Without a doubt.
And you look at, like, the Super Bowl, you know, Tom Brady, 43 years old. You look at Serena Williams in the Australian Open.
39?
You know, and you're just wondering, should this just kind of be expected? The athletes are going to be playing?
Yeah, we're in a different age.
Right.
Of athlete care, body care, what is expected and what can be done with the body later in life. You could tell more investment is going into how all these athletes take care of their body. And yeah, I mean, I don't see it getting any less than, you know, the average basketball age going up a bunch of years, the average football age going up a bunch of years, the average soccer, hockey, everything. It's just everybody's able to play everything a little bit longer because of everybody caring more.
Yeah. I wonder if that will...
More money.
If that will continue to be true for women's basketball because they play two seasons a year. You know, by and large, most of them are playing two seasons a year. Well, and if that's going to eventually catch up to them or if some of the economics of the WNBA are going to change so the players don't have to do that.
I mean, that's already starting to happen, and that's what's already happening with the...
Starting, but
with
we're
the
not
US,
even near
the
there
USA
yet.
Players that play for the USA team are getting enough money elsewhere that they aren't necessarily having to play overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is changing. Mm-hmm. Let's see if that continues, right?
Yeah.
And let's hope it gets better because I want my players and the people that I watch to play longer and have longer careers and not have to play two seasons a year. Maybe we can get a little bit longer WNBA season.
Exactly. You know,
and
if we
a couple
can get
more teams
a
and
longer
like
WNBA season, you know, more hype, more fanhood,
yeah.
You know, more money for the players.
I feel like that's the direction the league's going.
I hope so. I mean, there's certainly a lot of support for the league right now, and there's a lot of, you know, especially kind of like in sports, there's been a nice push towards like really kind of like finding better pay and more respect for female athletes, you know, in this country at least. And I feel like that's something that will continue, you know.
Totally.
So let's hope. Let's hope it keeps
getting
better.
Yeah, let's hope. But I was just reading about the Tina Charles thing because I wanted to make sure about it that I read it right. Emma might not be coming back this year. That's why.
Okay. Because of COVID?
No. Well, she has her Belgium international obligations.
Cause
she's just like, I wouldn't rather not.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So it makes more sense why they kept Tina.
Yeah. I think regardless of what happened with Emma, I think Tina was probably in their plans anyway because of what an important talent she is and piece she could be. So I think maybe it makes it more easy to figure out where everyone fits without Emma.
That's what I'm saying.
But my guess is that she would have been part of the plans anyway.
Yeah.
But also, shout out to Crystal Langhorne, who announced that she's retiring What an amazing career she's had, and you know, we'll miss seeing her play, but you know, congrats to her.
Did you mention the Candace Dupree thing too?
Oh no, that wasn't there. That Candace Dupree re-signed, or not re-signed, but signed with Seattle.
I thought of old player, and Candace Dupree's popped into my brain too.
So that's a great veteran presence for Seattle to add.
Yeah, really nice piece.
Yeah, totally. She's been balling.
Balling. All right, so switch it back to the college.
Switch it back. Take us there.
I'm taking us.
Take me there.
Okay, so you want to do biggest surprise of this week?
Let's do biggest surprise.
What was your biggest surprise?
What's biggest surprise? Is that upset or is that most impressed?
Upset. Let's go upset.
Let's go upset.
Yeah.
Okay, biggest surprises.
So biggest surprise is its own little category that I just created.
It's a new one. We're just
going right
to do biggest
now.
Surprise
and
now?
And it's branched off into two little categories. Ooh. Subcategories that are these.
okay.
That are now, who impressed you the most this week, baby?
So the thing that was most impressive to me didn't happen this week because it's been a minute since
we've been here. That's fine.
So the thing that's impressed me the most was Naz Hillman's 50-point effort against Ohio State. Dropping 50 points in a game, you know, where your team is scoring like, you know, 60 something points.
Didn't she shoot like 20 of like 30 too?
20 for 30. Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible performance from a junior who is just getting better and better and better. And she's just got an exciting career to watch ahead of her. She's doing so many good things for Michigan, who's now ranked number 12. Shout out to her. That was the thing that I thought was most impressive, was just who drops 50.
Totally.
Who drops 50 in a college game?
50.
No one drops 50 in the college game.
Nah. On 20 of 30 shooting?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy. And she shot a great like percentage at the line. Great game.
Yeah. So
crazy
that was the most impressive thing to me. About you?
And didn't she have like a ton of boards too? Like 15 boards that game or something like that? 19?
I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, a bunch of boards. Yeah.
Crazy. She's crazy.
Yeah, she's so good.
So for me, we've just been talking about her nonstop. This is the Paige Becker show.
The Paige Becker show, Paige.
So,
anything specific?
More or less the fact that she is becoming right now already quick. The must-see ticket, the gotta watch what Paige does every night kind of deal. And I thought, you know, that's why I'm saying she's the biggest surprise to me. She is the most impressive thing going on right now. What she's doing and like her efficiency, how she's already doing it at this high level. She could basically do it all. You know, she has one of the best inside out games. Like she could shoot the three, drive.
Yep.
Looks like she could post up a little bit too on smaller guards.
Yep.
It's really something special. So like, yes, that.
Paige.
So Paige again.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about her already, but it is the Paige show, so.
This is the Paige show.
We're not worthy.
Right. They were in a commercial.
It's super exciting to see. They were. That was a fun commercial, too. It's super exciting to just be excited about the onset.
I mean,
of
this freshman class, right? You got to be excited for, like, the three of them. Four of them, if you want it, like the four big ones. There's even more.
There's a lot of big ones.
I would say there's
class.
Like, yeah, this is so, freshman class.
Who are you going to call shout
so
out?
So the big shout outs to these big guards right now. And like Haley might have fell off after what I saw from the last game against Notre Dame. I was pretty disappointed.
It wasn't a great game for her, but I still think she's a unique talent and that she's, you know, going to do big things for them.
But eye test wise, Paige, Caitlin Clark, I'm going to say it. Olivia Miles.
Don't say that. She's played a game.
Two
games and no.
Flashy.
Nah, you can't. You can't even put her in the same category as other players right now.
No, but I just felt like squeezing her in there.
Yeah.
And then who else was I saying? Oh, Haley.
Yeah.
So, like, the three of them, like, wow, what the next 4 years is like prime for all those teams.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
It's going to be so fun to watch.
You know, they're already like starters that are not only starters, but that are impacting the game on every level. So it's awesome.
And shitting on people.
Shitting on people. All right. So what was the upset of the month for you.
I mean, I won't say the month. I'll go back a week.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Washington State over UCLA.
Yeah. UCLA was like poised to like take over the Pac-12.
Yeah, and then to have that was a pretty bad loss.
I think they just beat Stanford, right?
Yeah, 8-7 team.
Washington State's had a couple nice wins this year. They beat another top team. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, Ledger Walker, I mean, in that game, had 28 points. Mm. 7 of 14 shooting, and then 4 of 8 from 3.
Mm.
So, 10 of 12 from the line. Great game. It's something super impressive what they did there, because UCLA was coming off of such a high win.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Washington State's going to have anything else happen for them in the sense of making the tournament, but that could be their big thing this year. So good on them. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you live for those upsets in college. Right. I mean, it's like, it's great. You be a top ranked team and, you know, you feel good about it. You know, you look to the future. You know, you look, okay, how do we build?
Totally.
Where do we go from here?
Totally.
So, yeah.
What about you?
Great upset. So, upset I got to call out is, you know, North Carolina beating NC State on Sunday, just yesterday. This was huge because NC State was more than likely going to be the number one team in the poll.
Yeah,
today.
Totally.
And they had just beaten Louisville. It's the second number one team they beat this year. They beat South Carolina earlier this year. They beat Louisville at number one. And you just felt like, you know, they had one tough loss in OT against Virginia Tech. Not a great loss, but, you know, only one loss. And then they go and they lose to North Carolina, who is a 500 team and hasn't, you know, had a great year. But so that cost them the number one spot, and it wasn't a great game. You know, their star, they've got a couple stars, you know, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, you know, Kai Crutchfield. But Alyssa Cunane is definitely their anchor, and she fouled out in 22 minutes. And so that's going to be really tough for NC State to bounce back from. Their other loss to Virginia Tech was when Alyssa Cunane was out the entire game.
Yeah.
So they need her on the floor. You know, that's
totally
kind of like, you know, what I get from that. But, you know, shout out to North Carolina. They played a great game. They start two graduate students, a senior and two freshmen.
Wow.
And it was their freshman, Alyssa Usby, who went 8 for 10, 4 for 4 from 3-point, 20 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, 6-1 guard. Definitely a player that North Carolina can get excited about building around for the future. And they just did it by committee. You know, all five starters, you know, had good scoring lines. You know, only one didn't have double figures, and she had 9. So,
right.
You know, it was a great game for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great
upset.
What a game.
Yeah. Gotta be a heartbreaker for NC State, you know.
Yeah, what a game.
Gotta back up these big wins with you know, beating the other teams too.
Totally. But okay, so
Totally.
Where are we going now?
I think we're going to Hot Topics.
Steer our ship.
We're going to Hot Topics. It's Hot Topic time.
Hot Topics.
We got some things to talk about.
Okay.
So here's how Hot Topics works. We're gonna put 5 minutes on the clock. We are gonna make statements at each other, and we're either going to give each other a Yas Queen or a Nah Girl, depending on whether we agree or disagree with said statement.
Yas.
Are you ready?
Yas.
Are you ready?
Yas.
Are you set?
Yas.
I'm going to keep saying it because I am not. And go.
Yas. Go ahead.
Go.
You go.
I'm doing the clock.
Oh, shit. NC State will lose two more times this regular season and fall out of the top 10.
Nah, girl. I think they might pick up another loss, but I think these are the kind of losses that are wake up calls, and you are stronger the rest of the year because of them.
Okay. UConn will run the table and finish as the number one seed and number one overall seed for the NCAA tournament.
Yas Queen. I don't think they're going to be particularly challenged the rest of the way out. So yeah, I think they will. I think that loss to Arkansas will be the lone blemish on their otherwise great season. I'm not saying they're going to win the tournament, but yes, they will get there as the number one seed.
Maryland will reach the top 5 and get a number one seed.
Nah, girl. Mm. I think that Michigan's going to bring them down when they play.
Okay. And number one offense in all of college basketball.
Yeah, I know. I think Maryland's real good, and I'm excited for what they can do. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that Michigan's going to take them down, and that's going to.
I'm a big Michigan person too, so I would like that.
That's where I'm at.
Going to Michigan right there. Naz Hillman will win National Player of the Year.
I don't think she will. Naw girl. I don't think she's been consistent game in and game out enough to that she's going to get the nod. And I don't think Michigan's going to be good enough to her, for her to get the nod. So I really think those things matter.
Second highest points per game in all of women's basketball.
Totally.
6 points per game.
Totally. It's yeah, I just don't think so.
Okay. These are your opinions. That's fine. And last one. Notre Dame will make the NCAA tournament.
Nah, girl. The rest of their schedule is very
pretty
difficult.
Nightmarish, but if they can win a few.
Yeah. But
nah, girl.
I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah, they can't close out any games.
So that's okay. I think they're going to have a great year next year.
Okay. Hit me.
All right. Athletes playing into their 40s will be the new normal moving forward.
Yeah. I guess we just talked about this. Yeah, you did this.
Sorry.
Yep.
I should have not brought that up before.
Yeah. Swinging a miss.
The SEC will record the most wins in the NCAA tournament this year.
I'm going to say Yas Queen. I really like the SEC, and I really like that division, and I was thinking about it as one of my strongest. It's probably up there. Them,
there's
ACC,
a lot of good teams.
And even the Big Ten. Mm. Those, I think, are my favorites right now. I think
definitely not the ACC.
I mean, Big Ten and SEC are my top two. I like some ACC teams.
Nah, the ACC is trash. There's only two ranked teams.
But they're high ranked.
Yeah, but they already lost to unranked teams, so like whatever.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, Louisville.
Go ahead. Next question. Right. That's my answer.
A non-Power 5 conference team will make the Elite Eight.
Nah, girl.
Nah?
Not this year.
I mean, other than UConn, I should say. Because that's not fair.
Yeah, but like...
Other than UConn. And the Power 5
conference. But they're in a bigger conference now. I feel less bad saying that.
Yeah,
so like,
it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. COVID will force at least one team to withdraw from the NCAA tournament altogether after Selection Sunday.
Earlier in the year, I would have said Yas Queen to this. Nah, girl.
You don't think so?
I think they've gotten pretty good at like managing this.
Dude, I look every single day. I see postpone. Every canceled. Every day.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think it's in preparation of making sure that everybody can get to the
just never know what's going
to
happen.
Get to the finish line.
I mean, they're not postponing games because they don't want to play them and they want to be safe. They're postponing games because they're in COVID protocols.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Like, you know, if they're in COVID protocols.
All right, how about this? I'm going to switch my answer for the first time ever. Yas Queen.
Let's go.
You convinced me. Jesus.
We will crown a first-time national champion this year.
Nah, girl.
No.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be anybody that's not, you know, of those usual suspects.
Okay.
I think there's some big name. I mean, does Louisville technically have one?
No.
That might be the only team that maybe can get it done.
Neither does NC State.
I don't think they can get it done.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think UConn and, you know, South Carolina are definitely going to be up there for that conversation. So they've got them.
All right. Sounds good. That's it.
Wow. How much time do we have left?
11 seconds.
Wow. We like never finish.
We cruise.
In that 5-minute mark.
Maybe we should shorten the amount of time.
Ooh, make it harder?
Make it harder.
Ooh, no, I don't think so. You got it one time. Doesn't mean we're going to get it every time.
So before we jump into our spotlight performers.
Spotlight queens.
Spotlight queens and spotlight princesses. Let's do just a quick check-in on the standings of some of the Power 5 conferences, okay? So we got, in the ACC, we got Louisville at number 1, NC State number 2, Georgia Tech number 3, and Syracuse number 4. In the Big 12, Baylor's number 1, West Virginia's 2, OK State is number 3, and Iowa State and Texas are tied for 4th.
Okay.
In the Big 10, Maryland, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio State.
Okay.
In the Pac-12, Stanford, Arizona, Oregon, UCLA. In the SEC, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Tennessee, and then a 3-way tie with LSU, Georgia, and Kentucky. So there are your standings for the Power 5 conferences at this point.
Yes.
Exciting to see how these things play out. We'll probably be back to talk to you when tournament time is up for the conferences. And maybe before then, who knows?
Maybe.
But
we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. We're crazy out here.
We're crazy. All right. Spotlight Queen.
Spotlight Queen.
Go.
Okay.
I know you're aching to get through this.
Whoa.
I'm only aching
to get through because I can hear our dogs crying.
Yeah, the dogs are crying.
Crying. A beanie's going to poop everywhere.
Yeah, they're going to poop everywhere.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be great.
Our dogs just got spayed. So just to tell everybody, they got spayed. They're in cones. They're miserable. They hate us.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to be there for them.
All right, go. Spotlight Queens.
I'm doing Ashley Owusu.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, do her more respect than that.
Ashley Owusu.
Ashley Owusu.
Yeah. So spotlight queening her, amazing. Love her.
Sophomore guard Maryland. From
Maryland. Ooh, yes. I love Maryland. Big school of mine.
She's a baller.
And she's a baller. Yeah. She's cool. She's definitely gonna be a WNBA talent, right?
She'll just rip you to shreds. She don't give a fuck.
She's a bigger guard that is gonna be able to play with right away.
Yeah.
WNBA ready kind of deal.
Totally.
She's leading Maryland this year in scoring, 19 points a game, and she's just cool. I really like her Instagram. You should follow her. Everybody should get on there, and this is how you follow her. It is AshleyOwusu. Follow her.
Ashley Owusu.
Okay, then my princess.
Who's your princess?
Is Olivia Miles. She shouldn't even be able to make this list, but she is technically a freshman now. So Olivia Miles gets to make it. She's cool as hell, Notre Dame freshman guard. She should be starting right away. You know, in the next few games, she should be getting way more minutes. She looked real flashy against Louisville. She looked great. She's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Follow her. Underscore O L I V I A M I L E S. Underscore. So two underscores there.
So underscore Olivia Miles underscore.
Yeah. Get it.
Okay, got it.
Done.
Dope.
You go.
All right. My spotlight queen is Dana Evans,
the
senior guard from Louisville. She has been a closer for this team. Like, her stats of, like, what she does for Louisville in the last, like, 5 minutes of games is unreal.
She's cold-blooded in the final 5-10 minutes of a game.
She's knocking down threes like it's, like, no one's business. She's driving to the hoop. She creates. She's, like, a vicious defender. She's amazing. She's definitely one of the front runners for Player of the Year.
Definitely.
I think she
has that.
She's going to be a great WNBA player. I remember when she was a freshman, I was like, damn, I got to deal with this girl for 4 years.
Yeah.
Shit.
Totally.
And she's amazing. So you should follow her on Instagram. It is Dana, D-A-N-A, underscore Kiana, K-I-A-N-A-A.
Followed.
And my spotlight princess is Syracuse forward Camilla Cardoso,
yes,
who was like a number 5 overall recruit coming in, a huge recruit for Syracuse, and she has been everything you could expect from her. She is a phenomenal forward on both ends of the court, shot blocker, rim protector, finishes at the rim through contact. She is going to be a real problem for other centers in the ACC for the next 4 years. And so everyone should follow her. She's awesome. Her Instagram is her name, Camilla Cardoso, with an underscore in between. So that's K-A-M-I-L-L-A underscore C-A-R-D-O-S-A. Camilla Cardoso. So yes.
Followed.
So check all these folks out. They're awesome. They're going to be your WNBA players of tomorrow.
Yes.
And thanks for listening and being here with us. It's been a great show. I mean, I think it's been a great show.
It's been so good.
So, yeah. This is the Queens of the Court podcast. We're
Queens
the Kings
of
Queens.
The Court.
I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
Bye.
Bye.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast to all of the queens.